Welcome to Funeral Potatoes for the Singles Ward. Tune in to today's taboo topic with Kaylee and Tracy.
There's too many spiders here. I don't need them. I don't want them.
I'm going to take down the natural spider web and put up man-made spider webs.
The only safe kind there are. See all the names spider watching as you. No, I did think about totally decorating my walls. What's the top when you put crown molding? I was thinking about putting up spider webs in place of crown molding around my place. And I was like, nah, I'm going to get real spiders laying real eggs there or something. And I do not need that.
Yeah, don't.
Not interested.
Get spider webs so often in this apartment. I have not experienced that in a very long time.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, no, when I go down my stairs, there was this huge web. And I mean huge. With a spider at least this big, that was usually just sitting there in the middle. Ugh. It was there for weeks.
Ugh.
Over a month, actually. And then just recently, I came around, and then it was gone. I saw, part of a web, so I think someone, one of the gardeners, finally, sprayed it down. Which, they should have done a long time ago. Or, the pest control people. They said they've got pest control people who come around twice a month. What were they doing, if not getting rid of the insects here? Come on. I know we all love Halloween, but we do need to have limits. Boundaries are necessary. Fake spiders are in, real ones are not.
Just because we like Halloween doesn't mean that we like bugs all of a sudden. Okay, let's clarify that real quick.
Yeah. Do we joke about poison? Yes. It doesn't mean we're going to drink it. Same thing regarding spiders. We joke about it. We dress up as them. We get spider rings. We get spider stuff. We don't really want the spiders, though. It's all about the aesthetic.
Just like we like the 12-foot skeletons from Home Depot does not mean that I want to see a real skeleton outside of my house one day.
No, that would be very alarming.
Yeah, I don't want to see that. I only want to see the fake 12-foot skeletons.
Yes, that's please. It. Preferably dress up if possible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So...
How awesome would it be to have a 12-foot skeleton and dress it like death? Have the sickle and the cloak?
Yes. Oh,
that'd be sweet.
I would love that. I know one of my coworkers got one. She was like, yeah, I got it really early for the sale. I had to borrow a friend's truck because it didn't fit my car, all this stuff. And I'm like, my job was dropped the entire time. I'm like, I've never been so jealous of someone. I want one so badly. And I was like, even if you don't have a place where you can set it up right now, because they said that they don't, you could at least take the head out and put it by a window or on your porch or on your patio, staring out at everyone. Even that, so much potential here. So much.
I know. Goodness. I drive past a couple of 12-foot skeletons on my way to work. There's one in particular outside a nursery.
Okay.
And it's incredible. It's right now it's surrounded by mums, and it's just this gigantic 12-foot skeleton towering over huge flower bed of mums, and it's
oh, that's awesome.
Great.
Although that does randomly remind me, I sent you that one quick video about the dolls in the yard.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, you did.
I would never buy dolls, but that was art.
You couldn't even pay me to go to that house to take that video. You could not.
I would do it from across the street. Mm-mm. After saying a few extra prayers or something. I don't know. I know you've got more of a thing against dolls, but that was still creepy, but it was so well done. And they're so much smaller. So it seems sure, you could just box them up and bring them out one time a year. No, they will demand to be out more than once a year. You cannot have a box of dolls living in your house. They will come for you.
Yeah,
they
will. Not doing it.
If we have any advice to impart to anyone listening, don't keep the dolls.
No, don't keep any dolls in your house. Get rid of them all immediately.
Preferably burn them and then bury them in salt. Mm-hmm. Stab the ground with a few crucifixes, leave them in just to be safe.
Yeah.
Just saying.
I was talking to a couple coworkers the other day about Halloween, and I'm so excited because the new Halloween movie just came out on Friday.
Oh, yes.
And I need to go see it. I'm probably
Yeah, you
going to take
do.
myself later this week.
Do it.
Because Michael Myers is like my everything.
Classic.
So we were talking about scary movies, and they were like, "Oh, did you know that there's like this new Chucky like movie coming out soon?" I'm going to look up the name.
Megan? Is it
Yes.
Megan? Yes. Okay, so she's already been kind of becoming a meme because of like dancing weird and stuff, but I
Yeah.
did watch part of a commercial and I looked
I
away.
have not seen a commercial yet. I am not playing the commercial in my house right now because I probably won't sleep if I watch it.
Wise.
But I
Wise.
looked up the, I started looking it up, and it's basically like a doll slash robot that's meant to like protect a family, and then she tries to take over the family.
Yep.
I don't appreciate the fact that they're trying to ruin my life even further by creating
Oh.
more horrifying doll movies, as if Annabelle wasn't enough. As if that bitch Annabelle wasn't enough, okay? I don't think I've ever screamed as much in a movie as I did when I watched Annabelle with
Yeah.
Brooke in our
Oh
apartment
my
like
gosh.
3 years ago.
Oh my gosh.
We had all of the lights on in our apartment and it still wasn't light enough for us. Like, we were
Wait, but
shrieking in the apartment about this movie.
okay, but whenever I come visit you, like, for like 2 weeks, can we watch the whole Conjuring Universe series?
Maybe.
Tracy.
Maybe. I'm okay with The Conjuring 1, 2, and 3. I'm okay with them.
Nun.
I have not seen The Nun yet. I watched Annabelle, and that's a big no from me. Is a big no from me. Huge, glaring, in red flashing lights no
That's
for me.
funny. That's fair. That's fair. You are
Mm-mm.
allowed to have those
The
movies. I
big
have
no.
mine, so that's fine. That's fine.
I have like vivid memories of watching that movie with Brooke because after we watched it, well, before we watched it, we made it through Chucky. We thought Chucky was hilarious.
Oh, totally.
We both have watched Dead Silence, and though it did traumatize me for a very long time in college, we made it through and we were able to joke about it now. And we were like, I'm sure Annabelle won't be that bad. And within like the first 25 minutes, she and I were like peeing our pants. We were so terrified.
Oh,
Like, and
it
then the
is
whole like
creepy.
elevator sequence towards the end, where like you go to the like main person goes down to the basement and like is looking for the doll, and you just hear the like the pitter patter of like the doll feet around you. And she, oh, it was too much. It was too much.
That's fair. That is fair. And I feel like as creep, Chucky really is only good for jump scares because it's kind of funny. A serial killer being stuck in the body of a doll. But like with Annabelle, it's more than just a doll. It's more than that. And
Yeah.
that's what definitely makes it so freaking creepy. Like I watched one of them. I watched them out of sequence. I watched one of them. No, I think I ended up watching two with a friend. And she was like, "Why are you pulling out your phone?" And I'm like, "Just give me a minute. I will get up. I don't want to scream. I don't want to jump. I'm just gonna look at my phone for a minute. I'm gonna listen along and enjoy this." And I totally did. Like I enjoyed the movies, but like it is definitely one where I was like glancing away once or twice.
Can't. I That's a hard no for me. Annabelle is a
Yeah.
hard no.
Yeah,
I will not watch any of the like sequels after that first Annabelle movie. It's hard no.
that's fair. I know they are making a second Nun movie, so I'm kind of excited for that. My point by saying that though is like they're not done with the Conjuring universe. That was my point. Which then from my perspective would give them room, give them cause to create another one just because they can. And this is our announcement to say we're switching
Horror movie,
podcasts to
a
talking
horror podcast. No,
about
no,
our
no,
movies.
no,
Oh
no,
gosh,
no,
no, we
no.
don't know. No.
I'm curious to see what this new Halloween Ends movie is like. I want to know
Do you think they will try to end it, end it, end it?
I don't know. I feel like for sure the storyline with Lori is going to end.
For
I
sure.
feel like that for sure is going to be done.
Yes.
Do I think that that means the true end of Michael Myers? No, because they've already shown us that he can be like brought back from the dead. Like,
Basically, makes no sense.
just like the Jason movies, someone will do like a freaking seance and rise the spirit of Jason from the dead and like let him kill people. So, like, there's always going to be an option for the Halloween franchise to continue.
Oh, for
I
sure.
just know that the Laurie Strode storyline will end. And I'm interested to see how that happens. So.
Yeah, it should be very interesting. So, there have been a lot of good other horror movies in theaters. I just don't want to go see those ones alone. They are on the slightly scarier side.
Yeah.
So,
I just haven't brought myself to go to the movies in a very long time.
also that, yeah, there's good reason
Yeah.
not to.
Like I
So,
wanted to go see Bodies, 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 but I never took myself to the movies to go see it. So now I'm just like gonna
yeah.
have to look it up on a streaming service.
When's it gonna come out?
And what else? Oh, that other movie that hasn't come out yet. It comes out for Thanksgiving, which I'm really excited about. I think it's called The Menu.
Yes. Yes. I know exactly what you're talking
It comes
about.
out November 17th. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited.
That one I could go see,
It looks
maybe.
so good. It looks so good. I can't wait to see
Yes.
that. I feel like it'll be, for me, it'll be Black Christmas of 2022.
If you've got a Roku device, it looks like you can watch it right now.
I do not have a Roku.
But Richard does.
I
Richard, get over here.
do not have a Roku. I don't even have a TV, so we'll get there in 2023. But yeah, Halloween and The Menu are like the two movies that I'm the most excited about for the end of the year. And then Black
Yes.
Panther, Wakanda Forever.
Yeah.
That's the
Yes.
next one that I'm the most excited about.
That's gonna be good. Yeah, I don't even remember the name of it. I think it's a Norwegian film, the third in the series. Something about the woods. It's a Netflix movie. It's got like aliens and like scary humans in it. So it's like choice stuff. I don't remember what it's called, like
Interesting.
No Sleep in the Woods or something like that. But the second one got like super weird. Super weird. So I need to see what happens in the third one. That's the main one I know about
Okay.
without knowing the title. But I will take each and every horror movie as it comes.
Yeah.
So like that's what I did all weekend. I binged a new show. So
I'm going to watch that this probably this weekend. While I'm like sewing, I'll probably watch that.
yeah, two things. So this is The Midnight Club. It is both heartfelt and scary. And I thought they did a really good spin in combining all of that. It's like really cool and very interesting. So we could talk about horror movies forever, but we did come here with a different reason to talk today.
I mean, it's Halloween. It's fitting. This episode will come out on the 19th. Sounded 2 days. I don't know time anymore. Comes out on the
It in 2 days?
19th. Yeah, it comes out on the 19th. I don't know time anymore. It's been a
I
long month.
know. It's fine. But also, like with Halloween, though, that's the problem, though. I could talk about literally everything. I could talk about all the decorations I've seen. I could talk about all the really cool and really weird costumes I've seen recommended. I already said decorations. I could talk about the cookies, the different kinds of food, more movies, weird traditions, and more.
Did you see that
But
video that
maybe
someone posted on Instagram?
I could have.
The girl who went to the Halloween store to look at costumes, and she saw costumes of like the 1990s and 2000s
Oh yeah, yes. Yeah. Like someone bought like a windbreaker
with
from a
like a
Halloween
flip
store.
phone and like
I think
frosted
someone saw like
tips.
Danko jeans too or something, or like obviously copies,
It
but
hurt. It hurt my soul. It
so
hurt a
much.
lot.
Yes. But like also think about it, they also had like those kind of costumes in stores at like for the 80s when we were kids.
Yeah, I know. That's true.
Like so when you technically think about it, you're like, okay, technically.
Yeah.
There are kids who think that they've missed the era to live in.
It just hurt. It really hurt because I was like, I have never felt like more of a fossil.
Our childhood counts as costumes now.
I hate it. I hate it here. I also learned this week that when you get your patriarchal blessing now, you'll get the printout, but they'll also like email you and tell you like, oh, it's available on your LDS.org account or whatever.
Okay.
Which I did not know. And I was like, I'm sorry, what? And the kids in youth Sunday school were telling me all of this. And I was like, I have never felt so old than I do in this exact moment. And they were like, why? What was it like when you got your blessing? And I was like, well, when I was your age, literally 15 years ago, so literally your age, but back then.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
It hurt. When I was Ouch. Your age, my patriarch recorded it on a tape recorder.
Yeah, same. Even though that was already even a little outdated.
Yeah, his wife used a typewriter to transcribe it. Stop. Because they didn't have a computer. That was just their choice. It was New Hampshire. I don't know why.
Okay.
And then they sent it to Salt Lake and then sent it to me a couple weeks after that. And then I had two physical copies in an envelope. I had to go and make copies of it if I wanted to have more copies of it. And I was like, and so, yeah, that's how it worked for me. And they're like, wow, that sounds really challenging. And I'm like, yeah. And then guess what? It wasn't until I went on my mission almost 8 years after that, that I was able to get it made smaller and laminated.
Aww.
So I could keep it in my scriptures and not have to like unfold this huge sheet of paper anytime I wanted to read it. And they're like, oh, that's sad. And I'm like, yeah, thank you. I feel really old now. So great.
That is so funny. Oh my gosh. I mean, technology is just, it just keeps on changing like insanely. So, which is good that the church is implementing more of it. Because if they didn't, you know, even less of our generation and younger would still be in the church because they're like, I just can't, it's not, what's the word? They can't keep up with it. They just can't allow themselves to go that slowly because not the rest of the world doesn't do it.
Mm-hmm. I felt like such a fossil yesterday in Sunday school teaching them that, like such a fossil. I was like, wow, I am old. And I made a Pac-Man joke and they didn't know what Pac-Man was. So I was like, oh my gosh,
oh.
This hurts. This hurts.
Yeah, we're getting old though. We are.
Yeah.
It happens.
I mean, I don't want to like relate to the youth or like make them think that I'm like them or whatever, but like, I don't want to feel 100 years old when I'm around them also, because I'm only 32.
Fair. I don't know how to get an, if there's an in-between though, like, okay, I don't have anything to say on that personally, though, because like, I don't spend time around kids.
Yeah.
It's either people my age, like you, or like my nieces.
Mm-hmm.
That's about it.
Yeah.
So, by the time that they're all like 5, they're going to know so much more than me about my own phone, and that's going to hurt. I know that.
Yeah.
And I am using the next couple of years to prepare for that.
Okay, let's actually do this podcast now that we've been again talking for like 25 minutes.
Well, if you keep all this in, I'm sure everyone will love it because they really just listen to our podcast to hear our voices and nothing else.
Oh, I'm not deleting any of this. I'm keeping
all
of
this
it in.
Live forever.
Because happy Halloween, motherfuckers.
Hey, yes. Amen. Hallelujah.
Okay. So let's get into Corrections Corner. I don't have anything. Do you have anything from Corrections Corner?
No.
Nobody messaged us.
Nope. And I didn't do any research to counter my knowledge. So I know for a fact we've definitely been wrong and we've not always corrected ourselves. And anyone who like starts listening to us and then makes it through here and they're like, here's my list of grievances. We understand. We're allowed to be wrong. You can nail that stuff to the wall, but we're not going to really do anything about it because this is our last episode and we want to go out with a bang, good or not. We're just, We've done what we can. We invite you to learn for yourself where we've been wrong. Learn to critically think, you know, just, we know we've been wrong, though. We accept that. But we also know we've been right a few times.
We gave you guys plenty of chances to tell us when we're wrong. You didn't take many of them, so.
Oh, for sure.
It is what it is.
Especially to do that as feminists in this time and place, to be willingly asking for input, that's saying something. And nobody took it, only a few people took advantage of that. And that's okay. And that's just where we're going to leave it.
Yeah.
So here
we
are.
It is what it is, folks.
We are thrilled to be new members of the Dialogue Podcast Network.
For those of you who are unfamiliar with Dialogue, Dialogue is a collective of independent and interesting podcasts who promote thoughtful, respectful, and engaging inquiry and discussion into all aspects of the LDS tradition, thought, arts, and culture.
You can support our podcast and others in the network by subscribing at dialoguejournal.com. Subscribers receive special benefits like ad-free episodes and bonus content. You can learn more at dialoguejournal.com. So check it out.
All right.
Anyways, we made it. We're here.
Yeah, we're on to the bulk of the episode now, which is we made it to the end.
Cheers.
We're finally here at our show finale.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
Yeah, we don't have like a finishing line or anything, but like, I don't know. There's like no like big round of applause for us. Not that we need one. There's no like huge, like grand exit. We're not going to like disappear in a cloud of smoke and glitter. We're just like peacing out right here. And that's okay because we've had a lot of fun. It's been 3 years.
Yeah.
Three seasons.
Three more years than we thought we would actually do, honestly.
True, which is funny because we've always talked about like, oh, I can't believe we're still doing this. Oh, I can't believe we're still here. We can just go on this forever. And we're like, no, we are done. We're done. And that's okay because things are allowed to change and you just have to give yourself the approval to do that. And that's what you've done. We did that for each other and we did that for ourselves.
Yeah, we've done a lot over the last three years. We both lost jobs at the beginning of our run of this.
Years.
And then there was a pandemic. Then we found new jobs, multiple new jobs. Mm-hmm. We each moved across the country a couple times. And
just a little bit.
You've done a lot. It's been a lot over the last 3 years. Like looking at everything that's happened in our lives in the last 3 years is like shocking.
Honestly, congratulations to us. We've made it this far. We've overcome a lot of stupid things and a lot of stupid people.
Yeah.
To reach this point. Mm-hmm. I mean, technically we went from like 8 loyal listeners and we will love you guys forever. And then technically like, we've got like a couple hundred listeners across the globe, like in other countries, which I did not see happening because why would anybody listen to us in the first place? Especially if they don't already know us from real life and are trying to support us and keep us sane in this place and time.
Truly.
But yeah, you guys have listened and we really, really insanely appreciate that. We appreciate you joining us for this weird journey.
Yeah. And the whole time we did this as a two-woman operation, just the two of us.
Also true. Yeah.
We didn't have anyone else working on this podcast with us, just us the whole time.
We got some guests, amazing guests every single time, somehow by a miracle. Thank you guys. But yeah, that's been us. We put together the show notes. We put together a website. We did our social media. Tracy did all the sound stuff.
We did it all.
Yeah. So yeah. So today we are officially just tying that bow on our podcast. And then we thought we'd share, you know, a few more thoughts before we slip into obscurity forever.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're already following us like on Twitter, which we would not be surprised because we talk a lot on there about stuff.
But mostly on our individual Twitters, not so much on our podcast.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, that's what I mean. Mine's public. I don't know about yours.
I think I'm public.
Can you make them private? I don't even know.
Yeah, you can make your Twitter private. Yeah.
Okay. I don't think mine's private. Anyways, here we are. We are doing our final bow, our final curtain call. Consider it like it's not even an encore. We're not doing an encore. This is just our final bow. So. Here we are. Tracy was clever enough to think of notes for our closing thoughts. I thought we were just going to go off with everything.
I just wrote things down because, you know, I don't do that well with collecting my thoughts on the spot. I have to like,
I mean, true.
It'll be there as like a guide. So I know like roughly where I'm going, but like, I'm probably not going to read it word for word. So
I know. I just like, I feel like I've always been a bit more of the planner for our podcast. So I would have assumed I'd be the one to have like very carefully concerned notes with like quotes or something. For this, no, I'm winging it. It's going to be disaster. I accept that. And then you've got some nice notes, which is awesome. Good for you. Doing this the right way.
We've switched places at the end.
Oh, goodness. That's okay.
We've had a Freaky Friday moment. It's okay. All right. So our first thing we want to go over is, why did we start this podcast in the first place, Kaylee?
Yes. I think it was mainly my idea in the beginning. That's how I see it. If I'm wrong, you can call me out on it, Tracy.
I honestly don't remember.
Well, because you'd started your other podcast and I'd been thinking about this for a while because I was getting into LDS podcasts and I was like, okay, I like this one about marriage. I like this one about relationships, but they're all about relationships of some kind. And there's nothing for people like us who aren't in relationships and aren't even thinking about getting married. You already had a microphone and you had another one that I could borrow. And I was like, why don't we do something? I remember coming up with the name because I thought it was funny at the beginning. It was really long though. I wish I thought about that. But I wanted to start this podcast so that not only did I have something fun to do with you, but I had something fun for us to talk about and to learn from, to share with everyone else because I know there are so many of us singles in the church who feel like we don't really have a voice and sometimes not even a place in the church. And I wanted something like that for us. And so that was my thought process behind saying we should do this. We really should do this.
I remember wanting, before talking to you, I remember I wanted to do something spiritual related as a podcast, because the podcast I was doing before this was a hospitality specific podcast. And one day I may revive it, but that's for another time. But I remember wanting to talk about like hard topics in religion.
Mm-hmm. The taboo stuff.
Yeah. And get like other, my initial thought was to get other religious perspectives in there, but I only knew like a couple other like people from religious backgrounds. So I was like, I know I'm not going to be able to get everyone, but if we can start like having these discussions about these hard topics that we don't talk about in religions, then maybe we can open up a dialogue into something further. And then when you and I talked, we were like, we don't talk about this stuff enough in the church, period. So let's be the ones to open this conversation and make it happen ourselves here.
Yeah, if we can start talking, then maybe others will too.
Mm-hmm. And then it kind of opened up the door for us to find other LDS podcasts that weren't about relationships, but were about like the hard topics. Like that's how we found At Last She Said It.
Beyond the Block.
Faithful Feminists. Like that's how we found all of these other podcasts. And we were like, oh, there are more people out there that have similar questions and points of view that we have. And we can add to it. We can add to the conversation.
And with our own, with our own crazy chaotic touch, which is nice. So yeah, so that's the basis behind how we started the podcast, why we decided to do it. And usually it was just us sitting on the floor or, you know, being on Zoom doing this.
Yeah. We really were only together for like the first 6 months of the podcast. And then the pandemic happened and we have been virtual.
I think technically, yeah, we would have been virtual for the majority of this podcast. That's crazy. Mm-hmm.
Technology, man.
So nice.
And how far we've grown too, because we started out doing it through Skype.
That's true. Yes.
We started on Skype and then we switched over to Google Meet. Mm-hmm.
That's true.
And then
you got Zoom.
And my friend introduced me to Zencastr. Right. So we started using Zencastr in Zoom and here we are.
Dang. What a journey.
What an evolution.
So good. So yeah, so it definitely has been an adventure for us. And then we also want to kind of touch on some things that we've learned through the process. some things that we've learned here. So Tracy, do you want to go first?
So aside from technical skills,
which you learned so much about, thank goodness.
like editing and sound mixing, which is like completely rudimentary because I don't have a mixing board. We've just been doing this through like Audacity and GarageBand somehow. I feel like over the last few years, I've learned a lot about faith.
Yes.
I always knew that the principle of faith was, you know, like that generic, if it's like a little seed and you plant it and you work on it and you nourish it and you study and you pray, like the faith will grow into like this beautiful tree of faith or whatever. The thing that I didn't realize about faith is that your faith seed isn't going to grow into the same type of like faith plant that someone else's faith seed is going to grow into. So like someone's faith seed could grow into like a palm tree and another one could grow into like a blackberry bush or like a walnut tree, or like our faith can take different shapes and forms and it can look different. There's no one size fits all type of faith. And it just depends on how you nourish it. And it's unique to you. It's unique to your experience. And it will always stay like that. And it doesn't mean that your faith is wrong. It just means that your faith is different compared to someone else's, which is the way it's supposed to be. I figured out that through that different faith journey and different faith plant, that focusing solely on what your eternal reward is going to be is not beneficial for you in this life. It's doing the opposite. We get so focused on what our eternal reward is going to be like that we forget about what we're doing here now for the people around us. Like we're so worried about being in the top tier of the celestial kingdom that we forget about being nice to our family members or being nice to our friends or random people that we meet on the street. And that's more important than worrying about your eternal reward and the mansions on high or whatever the heck you're going to get. You should be doing things here in life because you love the Lord and because you want to become more like him. And it shouldn't just be so that way you can be with your family for eternity or like have this eternal joy and happiness and whatever. Focus on what you're doing now because that's what the Lord cares about. The Lord cares about the effort that you put into your life now and the person you're trying to become now, because that's what we're here to do. We're here to worry about us becoming something now, not us becoming something when we die. That's the whole purpose of this life, is to become like the Savior, become the person he wants you to become while you're still alive. I think if we focus more on that, then that's going to shape our faith plant even more. The last thing that I figured out while doing this podcast is that there are more people who feel like you in the church than you think there are. And when you start opening yourself up to having those hard conversations with the people around you, whether they're your friends, your family, your fellow Relief Society sister, whoever it is, when you open yourself up to having those conversations, you're going to find people who understand exactly what you're talking about. And you'll find more people who have been waiting for someone else to say that, but haven't because they've been so afraid of saying that and being judged in the past or anything else. You just need to open yourself up and have those hard conversations. Even if you don't know enough, even if you have so many questions, just open up, have those conversations. And I promise you, you will not only feel so much better afterwards, but your friendships and your relationships with those people that you do open up to will be so much deeper and so much stronger because of it, because you are learning together, you're bonding together, and you're making that effort to help each other's faith plant grow into whatever shape and size it might become. So just do it. Just say those things.
Well, shit. I can't. I was listening to you the whole time. I have so little to go off with that. Because you did it, you put that together so well, because that really encompasses so much of what we try to do with our podcast. And I mean, based on like what you've shared, on my thoughts of like what we've learned is that people do matter and people don't matter, and not in the ways that you think that they do. There isn't just one right way to get to heaven, and you don't even need to be worrying about that. You need to be worrying about the here and now, about the person you really are, the person you want to be, not the person you're pretending to be.
Ooh, yes, that was really profound.
I did it.
No, I like that.
Thank you. No, so because when I started this podcast, I knew I needed to do a lot of growth. I knew I wasn't in a place that I really wanted to be. And I thought that I knew where I wanted to go. I wanted to get something out of this podcast, maybe even a relationship kind of thing. Like I had a lot of ideas about what I thought was right and and things that I thought that I wanted. And I thought I was just like, we'd just be kind of on the edge of the norm. And as we've grown, as we've done this podcast, I've stepped further and further in directions that I never thought that I would go, because in the end, I could feel myself opening up to other things and other people that I never really understood or given myself the time and patience to do. And in opening myself up to love, to trust, to faith, I began to realize that I need to do more growing. And like you said, we can't focus so much on heaven that we forget about the person that we are meant to be right now. And you can still be a good person by doing things that some people are going to disagree with. And even if these people are disagreeing with you, if they're saying things, if they're doing things, that doesn't mean that you're wrong. It means that they're on their own journey. And you don't have to listen to them. You don't have to follow them. Yeah, so this podcast has really helped me to learn to decide for myself what kind of voices that I want to listen to. And I've started to learn about the people behind the voices, behind their words, as well as their actions, because both of those things matter in the long run. And I know that I've been really good at doing one of those in the past, but I wasn't always good at both. And I want to be good at both. And to do both, I've got to do some changing. And so this podcast has done a lot to inspire me to do that. And I really hope that other people have been able to do that as well, because we do need to do things for ourselves at the end of the day, because that can build our relationships with our God, with that higher power. And that means having those hard conversations. And sometimes, yeah, it does mean stepping away from the church or staying in the church, whatever ends up working for you. But you just need to decide and learn for yourself what really matters.
I like what you said about you find people that matter and people that don't matter. Or that's what you've found through this.
Yeah, and I'm not saying like people suck, but like you don't have to give them that priority or importance in your life.
That's the thing. Like, that's something that I think we both have figured out a lot during this podcast because, I mean, granted, we were in a singles ward, so you have to put more effort into the people around you, but
Yes.
like, we realized through this podcast, like which people are important to keep around and to keep close to your life, and which people you can keep at an arm's length or further. The people that matter the most are the ones that you can fully give yourself to and like open your heart to. And the people that don't matter, you don't owe them anything, just like they don't owe you anything. And I think learning that lesson has been very challenging, but it's also been very like gratifying over the last few years of making those necessary cuts
Right.
as
Well, and
in a
then
way.
agreed. But the thing is, you keep relearning that lesson as you go because you have to learn that with your friends. You have to learn that with your family. You have to like sometimes learn that with your coworkers. And you definitely have to learn that with the leaders in your church, whether you know them personally or not. And that is really hard. If you're ingrained to trust everyone around you, we're all brought up to love each other, but loving doesn't mean we have to listen to them. Loving can mean creating distance, building boundaries, and walking away from people.
Loving them doesn't mean you have to like them either. You can love them and appreciate the fact that they are a child of God, but that doesn't mean you have to like them and be their friend.
You can be
Just be
glad that
respectful.
they have some kind of values, that they believe that they have value, that they are passionate, and that they care for some people, but you don't have to like everything they do or everything they say, and you don't have to spend another minute thinking about them if you don't want to.
Exactly. All right. So what are some of your favorite and least favorite moments from the podcast?
So much.
Let's start with the favorite.
So much. Yeah. Let's start with the favorites. Like interviewing everybody. I mean, there's some points where it's like, okay, we haven't interviewed that many people, but we've also like, I feel like we've done quite a bit. This wasn't a podcast meant to interview everyone, or anyone necessarily, but like every once in a while, we're just like, we know we need more input. We need more people's voices. And it's been an absolute joy every single time getting to talk with amazing people, whether they're just our friends. Actually, I shouldn't just say just, they are our friends. They have their own podcasts, and so on. Like all the people we've been able to meet and speak with on our podcast it's been such a good experience.
Yeah. Listener episodes too have been some of my favorite moments of the podcast.
Oh, those are fun.
Especially that the very first one we did.
Oh God.
In season one, when we asked everyone to tell us their dating horror stories. I laughed so hard reading all of the stories that everyone sent us. And that was when I felt really sure that we were going to be okay doing this podcast, because we got such a good response from the beginning. Like, people sent us these incredible stories that were hilarious and relatable and like so diverse. And I knew from that moment on, I was like, okay, if nothing else works for the rest of this podcast, this listener episode worked great. Mm-hmm. And we can do this again in the future. And we did one every season. But it was just so nice to hear from people that listened and relate with the trauma of dating and just like have a good time doing it. And every other episode after that, every other listener episode, like, I love reading everyone's feedback. It's been so fun.
So much fun. Then we did make some legitimate goals at like one point or another, which I mean, to me was always important. And we actually got to meet some of them, which was to get picked up by a podcast network. We got picked up by Dialogue Podcast Network. I didn't expect that to happen. I didn't think it, and if it did, it would just happen like a long time in the future, like not even where we're at today. But we did. We got picked up at the beginning of this season or last year. See, like longer than I thought we'd be with them. Because every time we did an episode after, I was like, they're gonna drop us. They didn't.
Yeah.
It was such an unexpected delight to get included. It was really cool. It helped us spread our podcast to more than our 8 loyal listeners. And so being a part of Dialogue was a real treat.
And it was so funny how it happened too, because like
yeah.
You randomly saw like an Instagram post by Taylor Petrie, who we are so grateful for forever, he was like, do you guys know of any like-minded podcasts in the LDS sphere that would like to be a part of Dialogue Podcast Network? And you commented like, our podcast. And he was like, I emoji back. You were like, let's email him, and all just right. Did it. And I remember like you telling me that you just like randomly DM'd him on a whim and then emailed him. No. And I was like, oh my gosh, Kaylee, who are you?
I still don't know whatever came either.
And he immediately responded, and he was like, let's have a meeting. And we both were like, okay, well now I'm going to go die. I'm going to go pass out. And I don't. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
Crazy.
So cool. And then it was so simple after that.
Yeah. It was
like,
so great.
Basically, yeah. Just like, yeah, you guys are welcome. Welcome to the team. And we're like, I'm sorry, what?
Yeah.
yeah. And like when we asked for help, they had help to give. And it was such a cool experience.
Yeah. And like, I feel like it was one of my favorite moments, not just because it opened so many doors for us, but it was kind of a reminder for me of like, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
True. Yes.
Like
seriously.
If you had not taken that shot, we would not have been on Dialogue at all.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have done it. I'm not brave enough.
I would have chicken out. I'm like, okay, we'll just wait till next season. Wait till next season. Yeah. We would have never gotten there. But here we are.
Yeah. So take those shots. Just try. You never know what could happen.
Yeah. You will be surprised.
Okay. So another favorite moment of mine was doing the Atonement series last season.
Yeah.
Honestly, that I think was my favorite series that we've ever done.
It was a good one.
Because I loved how we broke the series down. I loved like each of our episodes. I loved the materials that we used. We used so many different materials, and I loved that.
We did a lot of research for them.
And I felt like I learned new facets of the Atonement that I had not known previously. And those really helped change my perspective of the nature of Christ. And so like that helped make not only the Atonement, but it made Christ more real to me. And so I really loved doing that series, like more than anything else.
Yeah, that was definitely like a standout series that we did. I loved our Pride series as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so just, yeah, the two of those were such incredible experiences for us to learn and to grow from.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know I still like turn back to our notes on the Atonement series once in a while just because it was so great.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and one of our Atonement series episodes, I think the first one, the Days of the Atonement, is like one of our top listened to episodes.
That's true. That is correct. Yes.
Out of our entire podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So
we did good.
Yeah.
Thank you guys. So those are our favorite things, mm-hmm. our favorite moments for the podcast. As for our least favorite.
I said interviewing everyone also as least favorite.
Same. That was the one person I remember that I was thinking about this week. Like in my non-preparations for this, I was like, okay, I don't know what my favorite moment is, but I do know my least favorite is when we were getting ready to interview people, because every time I'd be so intimidated, I'd be like on the verge of a panic attack, ready to be like, I'm done with this podcast. Tracy, you're going to have to do this without me. I am done. I have reached too high. Like
same.
I girl boss to the sun. Like I can't do this. It was terrible. But most of the time it worked out okay.
That first one when we interviewed Brother Osler.
Oh my gosh, yes.
I swear we were a mess beforehand.
Uh-huh.
Like I know he probably is. He was like, oh, they were so charming and lovely, which we somehow pulled it together. I don't know how. But like literally beforehand, we were both like on the verge of tears because we were so stressed and like so anxious about it. And then afterwards we had to like shake and scream and like have a meltdown after we hit end recording. Yeah. And it was like that with every interview, unless we already knew the person. Like,
yeah. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Our book clubs, when we had guests, like anytime it was someone other than the two of us, there was like a panic attack happening 5 minutes before we hit record.
Like, how did we get these people to join us? What are we going to do? What do we do when everything burns to the ground because everything is wrong and we did it wrong?
Yeah.
And they're too good for us.
So just know that we were faking it till we make it the entire time.
Yeah.
Whole time.
Just a reminder, that's what most people are doing. So even when you are not feeling confident in doing anything, do it anyways. And there is a 50-50 chance. Actually, I'm going to give you better odds. I'm going to give you 70% chance of making it okay, because I think that's realistically what it is. When you take those shots, you're going to be 70% more likely to be okay no matter what happens. So
yeah,
the panic was insane, but we made it out every time, and we had some incredible episodes because of it. Incredible conversations with people who we would have never talked to otherwise, except for like, you know, when we comment on their stuff.
All right,
do you want to bring in the last point?
Yeah. So I don't
totally fair.
Yeah, this was my least favorite. This is not Kaylee's. This is 100% me.
I mean, it's not great. So
my least favorite was talking about polygamy. I knew we needed to do this topic. I knew we did. Like literally from the second we started the podcast, I was like, I know we're going to have to talk about polygamy eventually. And I Oh my gosh, everything about that episode made me mad. Like,
Yeah,
not
that's
you,
fair.
not like our
I
discussion,
know.
like
The topic
the topic
itself.
itself, the research, retelling it, and then having to edit it all. I was just so
Yeah,
angry the
re-listen
entire
to
time.
it.
I'm like, this is
That's
the
fair.
worst episode on the face of the planet. It's not like we did okay,
No,
and it
manageable.
got a fairly high number of listens as well. So I know it wasn't like a bad episode. I just hate the topic of polygamy so
Yeah.
much.
Yeah, it's no, that's totally understandable. Fortunately, thanks to you, I did not have to edit our episodes. But I know there were countless episodes where I would dive into my research and my studies and the scriptures and just be so angry and frustrated with everything. Like with polygamy, with several subjects in general, like especially like when we were in the middle of the LGBTQ history within the church, like that episode nearly killed me because it's so terrible. And even like some of the John Conference episodes that we did towards the end, it's like, I hate this so much. Why are we doing this? Yet I also know we need to talk about it. And there are important things that need to be discussed and brought up. And we can't let taboo subjects stay taboo, stay hidden, because everything should have a turn in the light so that we better understand ourselves, our faith, and the world around us.
It was kind of that reminder of just because we don't like talking about it doesn't mean that we shouldn't talk about it or learn about it. And I will admit that it was, it viscerally made me angry, like the whole time. But I learned a lot more about polygamy in general than I previously knew. And it opened my eyes to a lot of things. And it also prepared me for our discussion with Blair Osler when we talked about queer Mormon theology and her idea of polygamy being an inherently queer subject. So that, like, it helped a lot.
Yeah, that definitely did. Yeah, so I think, yeah, and so like that's one of the things like I've definitely like learned about this podcast, because as much as I can hate something, it doesn't necessarily mean that I understand it yet. So that's definitely given me some comfort through time and being like, okay, yeah, there is this weird thing, this stupid thing. Let's learn more about it. There are definitely things that were terrible and terrible for no good reason. But there are sometimes opportunities for me to learn more. So,
All right. So that brings us to our next question, which is, where are we on our faith journey? The people have a right to know.
no, they don't. But we'll share it anyways because we like to talk. Gosh. Yeah, so to start off though, like this is just our own faith journey. Everyone who's listened to us, like hopefully from the beginning, or is just like tuning in once in a while, you guys will know that we've had problems with the church, we've had problems with church members, we've had problems with doctrine or church culture or anything. And that's perfectly normal. That is allowed. We should be asking questions, we should be testing limits, we should be learning everything we can, and figuring things out as we go. So whatever we say here, this isn't us encouraging you to do anything, or to copy us or anything. This is just our perspective on like what we've learned during this podcast and over the last couple of years, to kind of shed some more light on how we're kind of closing out this podcast. So personally, I know that I've changed a lot since the beginning of this podcast. I have been a lot more accepting. I've totally accepted my queerness. I've accepted more of who I am, including my faults. I've learned to accept people better, in general, not just because they're different or anything, just because I am not a people person. But so I know I've come out of this on the better end in so many ways. But I also know that I've lost a lot during this. I've lost relationships with people that I thought I could trust and people that I thought I liked, because it turns out I didn't really like them. I just thought I liked them because I was supposed to like them. So learning it to not be that cookie cutter Molly Mormon person that I was raised to be, and to be honest, I think I was pretty good at doing it. I learned that's not who I really wanted to be. It gave me so much stress in my life. Am I good at doing all that stuff? Yes. Like, I could be an excellent homemaker. I could be really good in all my roles in the church. I could give really good talks. I could do all these sorts of things. But I did a lot of it because I knew I had to, not because I wanted to. And allowing myself to learn more on this podcast has given me the freedom to become more of the person who I wanted to be and who I think I really am. Granted, it does make me sound like I am not as nice as I used to be, and I accept that, and I'm okay with that now. If I want to be a bit of a bitch sometimes, I think I have the right to do it, you guys.
Facts.
It's just how it is. So my faith journey has been basically, I feel like I've been playing Jenga all my life and building up the pieces the way that everyone said that I should. I built up all these really good habits. I got awards and like young women's constantly for being the one who was reading her scriptures, for doing all the service projects and everything. And I was doing all the good things and everything. And so I built up a really high Jenga tower. And I began to realize that I didn't like the Jenga tower. And so I've taken it out piece by piece. And now it doesn't look like a tower. There's a really big mess on the floor. But I know what pieces now that I want to keep. And I know what I don't want anymore. And yeah, that might change throughout time, and I accept that. Maybe I will rebuild that Jenga tower someday. But I think right now I'm pulling apart the pieces. I'm making sure I know what I want, and I'm rebuilding it to be the thing that I really want, because it's how I'm going to feel better about myself, better about my future, and better about the person that I want to be. Because I don't want to say that I'm less depressed than I used to be, because I can't say that definitively, but I have actually decided to start planning something of a future. And it's given me more perspective.
That's good.
I think I'm going to make it past my 40s, which I don't like personally. But I've accepted that. And it's made me really start thinking, I don't want, because I don't want the heaven that I thought I would get. We talked about that in our heaven episode. And that really changed some things for me when I realized I can accept and choose something else. And I'd already been doing a lot of that recently, over the years, but still. So yeah, it's, I guess it does, it's a journey, and it's a Jenga tower. It is, I am rebuilding things the way I want them to. It's not the Tower of Babel that's going to take me to God necessarily, but it's going to help me have a better perspective of what I want. And it will allow me to be more in control of what I support and what I believe for myself. I can't have a tower built on a foundation that I didn't build myself. And I think that's what I did growing up in the church. They say not to build your testimony on others, but culturally it kind of makes sense to. And so I just built it the way everyone told me I should build it, not the way that I thought was right. And that's taken me in a few different areas than I expected to. And I know I'm wandering around in this conversation, but that's because this conversation isn't over. It's really just starting. I'm in the middle of something, and I don't know if or when it's ever going to end. So I am not saying that I'm leaving the church and I'm taking out my records or anything. I don't know what I'm doing. I just know that there's new boundaries and new rules for myself and a lot of freedom that I have wanted for a very long time, and I'm finally giving myself permission to have and to explore. And I'm really excited for the journey that it takes me on, and I'm excited to build something new for myself. And I know that my faith journey will definitely still, though, be sourced out of this faith that I grew up in. There is so much that I love about it. I still believe in these core tenets. I just don't know if I believe them in the same way as I did a few years ago. And I'm okay with that.
That's good.
So,
That's really nice.
thank you. How about you, Tracy? Do you want to share anything?
So, our discussions of our faith journeys definitely got more serious the more time we spent doing this podcast, which I'm sure everyone has like picked
That's
up on if
true.
you've listened from the beginning to now. I knew that I was having questions and frustrations and, whatever about the organization of the church long before we started doing the podcast, like 2 years before we started doing the podcast. Doing the podcast really helped me sort through everything in a way. Like, it helped me put a name to these feelings and the frustrations and the questions that I had. It helped me to dissect them. Whereas before it would have just been like this gigantic cloud of like, what the heck am I doing hanging over my head? But instead I could like pull things out of the cloud and be like, this is something that's bothering me, or this is something else that's bothering me, or this is a feeling that keeps like pelting me in the face with rain and I don't like it. And I want to figure out why it's like that for me. A big thing that helped me on my faith journey, and it's something that we've talked about too on the podcast, was differentiating the gospel from the church. Because the gospel is perfect and the church is not. They are two completely different things. And though the church houses the gospel, that doesn't mean that the house that the gospel resides in is perfect. It needs improvements. There needs like a new roof. There's leaks. There's cracks in the foundation. Like any house, there needs to be upgrades and renovations done. The gospel was given to us by Christ, who we know is perfect. The gospel in its purest form is perfect. The church, though it was given to us by Christ, is run by people. And people, we already know, are not perfect. No matter how much we put them on pedestals and treat them like godlike beings, the Quorum of the 15 are not perfect. They are fallible. They make mistakes. They are subject to prejudices just like the rest of us. We need to recognize that more as a body of the church. I have been struggling for years to mental gymnastics my way around that knowledge. And I cannot mental gymnastics my way around that anymore, because I know that the gospel is perfect and the doctrine of Christ is perfect. And the doctrine is there for us to be more inclusive and more loving and more giving than we are allowing ourselves to be as a church. I love the gospel. I love my heavenly parents. I love the atonement. I know that the atonement is real. I'm emotional now and I don't like that.
I'm sorry. We can take a break.
No, it's okay. Because this is real. This is the real discussion that needs to happen.
Yes.
I know that all of these principles of the gospel are real, and I know that they are perfect, and I have a strong testimony of these principles. But I'll be honest, I don't have a testimony of the church anymore, because I have really come to recognize on my own through study and prayer and long discussions with the Lord that we're coming up short as an organization. We're letting a lot of people fall through the cracks, and it's not okay. And it's not okay for me. And I know that at some point, this will mean that I'll be taking a step away from the church. Which is very hard to think about, because I've spent 32 years, my entire life in the church. This is all I've ever known. And it's scary to consider leaving that, you know, that safe little bubble that you've come accustomed to. But I know that taking that step away is going to help me live a more authentic and genuine life than trying to live this one foot in, one foot out tug of war that I've been doing for 5+ years. And I know that it sounds like, oh my gosh, I can't believe she's going to do this. Like, she served a mission. She did all of the things that she's supposed to do.
How, she's a Relief Society
president. She was the Relief Society president. How dare she, like, do this? But the thing that has been really liberating about this journey was realizing that faith journeys are for you. This journey of life, the Lord gave us, you know, gospel principles. He gave us a covenant path, but everyone's covenant path looks different. It's not a one-size-fits-all path. Yes, there are like little checkpoints, like getting baptized and like getting your endowments or like doing X, Y, and Z. But like, that doesn't mean that our path is going to be straight and flat the entire time. It could be like a roller coaster track where we're going, you know, up a steady incline And then we're hanging at the top and we're stuck there and we're like, oh gosh, what's about to happen? And then we drop like 700 feet at 80 miles an hour. Like, you never know what's going to happen on this journey. But the only thing that matters is that you're working on your relationship with your heavenly parents and becoming the person that they want you to be. That could mean you stay in the church. That could mean you leave the church. It could mean that you become a monk. I don't know what that means, but whatever it means, do whatever is best for you on your faith journey and take comfort in knowing that whatever choice you are making is right for you. I am not taking this to tell people that they need to run for the hills from the church. That's not ever what I'm going to tell people to do. I will always respect everyone's personal faith decisions. And I just, my ultimate hope is that whoever is listening to this and who could be struggling with their feelings about the church or their feelings about the gospel or whatever, that they can have some sort of comfort knowing that there is somebody out there who understands what they're going through and will support whatever decision that they make. So if you are having that struggle now, please know that I support whatever decision you make because it is the best decision for you. Will it be easy? No, it's definitely not an easy road. It's not easy to go through these faith transitions or go on this faith journey that we're all on and make the hard decisions for our lives, but we need to trust that we are making the right decisions for ourselves. And the Lord is going to be with you no matter what decision you make. Things could change in the next year or two. I don't know. Things could change even further in the future for me, but I just know that my faith journey is likely to lead me away from the organization of the church. I still love the gospel and I still talk to my heavenly parents multiple times a day, but the organization is not it for me right now.
Agreed. I really like all that you shared because it just, and I don't think I emphasized this and as much in my point, but you constantly reiterated your relationship with your heavenly parents, our heavenly parents, because at the end of the day, it isn't the church that decides who we are, what we do, how we get to heaven. It's our heavenly parents. And that's the relationship that we need to focus on more than anything. The church is only a small faction in that and doesn't have to be. Faith journeys are messy and that's okay. If we move way far from the church, then so be it. If we come right back, you know, in the new year, so be it. I mean, I don't like the idea of leaving everything that I've known. I know that there's a lot of good in the church. I know there's a lot of good in the people I know, and everything. And I don't intend on losing everything in my faith journey. I intend on restructuring things in a way that works better for me. And that's what faith journeys are about for us. And more than anything, I think is what you said is finding that strength and that relationship for faith and trust in our heavenly parents or whatever that higher power might be for you.
Mm-hmm. Also allowing yourself to make those decisions, like allow yourself to make those decisions and don't feel guilty about making those decisions. That's the biggest thing.
Yeah. I remember as a kid at a sleepover with my sister, we were the last ones up. And I was just thinking, I don't remember if there was a reason. And I was like, if there's any of us who would leave the church, it would be me. I was a kid. There's no reason for me to think that. And yet that memory stayed with me through years. And I think there is a reason for it because I've never been totally comfortable in the situations that I found myself in. And I'm not saying that terrible things have happened. It's been a very basic experience. I've been a very basic white girl in the church, okay? I've had those basic experiences and I haven't done a lot of things wrong when I could have. But I think that I have to give myself the freedom to choose things for myself more than I ever have before. And I think that's important that we try those things out to become who we're really meant to be. And hopefully we can do that with the love and guidance of that higher power of ours.
Yeah. Amen.
Anyways, I almost feel like there's like no reason to like share this last question, but I also think it's kind of a fun one because it would be nice to think back and, you know, preferably by next year or 5 years or 10 years down the road and come back to this episode that, you know, to end of this for us, but helped us to change our lives and everything. And we can hopefully see the journey that we've been on and the journey that the church has been on. Because our last question and discussion point that we want to explore today was, what are our hopes for the future of the church? And I do want us to keep it in though, because that's a lot about what our podcast has been about. It's been about the church, whether we like it or not, about the problems and the blessings and everything about it. And I know we've shared a lot of our thoughts throughout all of our podcast episodes, but I think it'd be a good way to end here as well. So do you want to go first there?
Sure. I have a lot of hopes.
I'm so glad.
I have a wish list, honestly.
All right. Perfect. Please go through the list.
Yeah. So I really hope that one day the church's leadership will realize that the principle of repentance works for the organization of the church as much as it applies to the people of the church. For me, it's embarrassing when an oil company can repent better than a religious organization. All it is taking accountability for poor decisions you've made in the past, acknowledging them, apologizing for them, and committing to do better. That's literally what the principle of repentance is. And our leadership cannot seem to get a grip on that. Yet they tell us to do it frequently.
Better ground, harder and harder every time.
Yeah. So I hope one day that the leadership can catch up to the doctrine of the church. I want us to practice what we preach, because we should be a global church of repentance and growth and improvement and change. And yet we act like we cannot do any of those things as an organization. I would like us to prove that we actually believe in the atonement and actually let the atonement work in the organization, because that's a really important thing. Hashtag shots fired. Anyways, I also hope that the church starts asking the hard questions again. For example, is gender really a divine or binary thing? Why do we believe so hard that being gay is a sin? When can we start giving women more responsibilities in the church again? What can we do better to actually uplift our siblings in Christ that are in the margins instead of ignoring their cries for help? I want them to ask those hard questions to the Lord and actually be open to receiving the answers. We cannot receive new revelation if we are unwilling to ask the hard questions. The 1978 priesthood reversal decision came because they were finally ready to ask the hard questions and receive that revelation. We need that again. We are a church of continuing revelation, and yet we are not asking hard questions to get that revelation. Now, I can't really say that we aren't 100% asking those questions, because I'm not in the room where it happens. I'm not a dude. I'm not in my 70s or 80s or 90s, and I'm not there. I'm not with them. But I feel like those questions are not being asked. Or if they are being asked and they're not ready to receive the answers. So I really just want that to change. I want them to be ready to receive those answers and to ask the hard questions and be willing to do something after asking those hard questions. Honestly, I could go on for like hours, but
please do.
I'm just gonna wrap up by saying that I really just want the organization to match the doctrine more, because the gospel that I love so much and the gospel that I have such a strong testimony of is not what I see in the organization of the church right now. There is so much good happening at local levels across the world, and it's not filtering up. I feel like there's a disconnect somewhere in the chain of authority, and I feel like there's so much that needs to happen, but I don't know where to start to make that change happen. If we ever want to see the gospel the way Christ taught it in our lifetime, I feel like it's going to take a true overhaul of the structure and organizational design of the church, and it's going to take a lot of pushback from younger people to make that happen.
I agree. That's very much what I'm hoping will happen with time. I was thinking about it the other day. There's that verse about how they draw near the Lord with their lips, but not with their hearts. And I mean, I tune into a lot of interesting conversations on Twitter, and I do take them with a grain of salt. But then there are times where I realize how hurt people have been, and they have really good reason for feeling hurt, and they've been ignored. And a lot of our voices have been ignored, and we can't have that disconnect in a church like this. And I remember thinking as a kid how cool it was that Mormons seemed to have a really good reputation, in America, mainly that I knew of. We were seen as really hard workers, especially if you went to BYU. You were known to be, you know, dedicated to your studies and so on and et cetera. But here's the thing, that's not what Jesus was known for. Jesus was a radical. They hated him for being so different that they were willing to kill him. The very people he was there for. And he's like, hey, love these people. Love your enemies. Love the people beneath you. Love the minorities. Help them. Serve them. And they didn't like that. I know we talk a lot in the church about how much humanitarian aid that we offer, but the reports aren't really proving that as much as we think that, as much as I think that they should. And we're not seeing the voices being brought up that should be. We're still seeing so many people struggle that we could be helping, but we're choosing to ignore them. And I know I've also been in the place where I talk a big game and I don't do anything about it, because that's how I felt I was raised. As long as I was saying the right thing, that's all that mattered, even if my actions didn't always show that. And I don't like that. I can't accept that for myself, and I can't accept that for others. We need to be helping one another. We need to be supporting one another. We need to be loving one another. We need to be asking the hard questions and accepting the hard truths. I think that there's a lot more change that should be happening, because that's what Jesus Christ was constantly doing. He was changing absolutely everything. And the fact that we're so stubbornly set in our ways doesn't read right to me any longer. Yeah. And so I've just thought about this a lot more, because we say that we follow Jesus Christ. We are the church of Jesus Christ. We should be acting a little bit more like him. Not that we need to be like crazy, like we don't need to be viewed as radicals, but we need to be viewed in such a light that there's no mistaking exactly who we follow, because our actions and our words should be matching exactly what he was doing. And I do not see that in this church. And I really hope that as the younger generation continues to rise up and replace some of the peoples who say were already adults by the time segregation came about, for example, that these people can start asking the hard, being the ones to ask the hard questions and accepting the hard truth and helping us create the change that is so, so very needed. Because there is a lot of goodness. I do think that the gospel itself is pretty radical about everything that we can do, everything that we can become. And I want to be able to see that in my life and in everyone else's life. I feel like there's just such a not like a cliff, but a very heavy line, like a crack in the ground, that's separating us from doing everything that we could for one another. There's too much of a divide that we've created for ourselves. We want to stand out, and we don't stand out in the way that we could or should be doing.
We shouldn't have to ask ourselves, do we actually believe what we teach as often as we do?
Yes.
Because it's getting a little wild.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not even talking about like the big things like exaltation or that sort of thing. I'm talking about like, do we actually believe in the principle of loving one another? Do we believe in the atonement? Do we believe that it's real, that people can change?
Mm-hmm. We like to get these ideas, you know, print them on vinyl, put a pretty board around them, paint flowers on it, and think that we know exactly what they mean. And that doesn't necessarily mean that's the case. And honestly, there are going to be people who are, you know, who have very difficult lives, who are not members of the church, who might be houseless and poor, and are living better lives than we are doing when we think that we are, you know, doing the right thing inside the church. Like, there are so many people out there in the world who are incredible human beings, and yet we don't see them as equal sometimes because of our faith differences. There's so much more to love than I think we consider in the church. We just want to put everything in a pretty picture and call it good for the day. But loving each other is a lot harder sometimes.
Yeah. I really hope that more than anything, that people will actually dissect their beliefs and what they have grown up knowing, because you can't truly understand the gospel until you try to come at it from different angles. Yes, I learned a lot about the gospel before my mission and through serving a mission and like teaching the gospel, but a lot of my education about the gospel of Jesus Christ came from me poking holes in it myself and being like, okay, well, why do I believe this? Why do I believe that God speaks through prophets? Or why do I believe that Jesus Christ died for us? Like, why do I believe these things? What is it about it? Like, what is it? Why is it important to me? Why does it matter? Why should I care about these things?
It makes me feel like when you're born into the church, you're kind of given a piece of wood and you're told that it can work for you. You can keep it as is. You can carve it if you want to, but not everyone's going to. You don't need to. It's your block of wood. And so there are people who are going to treat it as super pristine. And then there's other people who are going to carve it up. And maybe they'll carve it into dust. They'll carve it into strange things. And I prioritized having that piece of wood, making sure it was nice and shiny, without realizing that maybe it would be better if I did carve into it, even if it changed things forever, but I could do something more with it. And you clearly did. And I wish more of us would do that.
I think that's what the purpose of the gospel is. The purpose of the gospel is not just for us to return to live with our heavenly parents one day. It's for us to learn how to apply it in our lives. How does the gospel work for you? How does the gospel make sense in your life? You know, we've talked about parables in the past on this podcast, and one of the parables we've talked about is the parable of the talents. And the Lord has given us all one talent, and it's the gospel. What are we doing with it? What have we done with it? Have we just put it on a pedestal and put a little spotlight on it and said, this is the gospel. It is shiny and wonderful. It is in my home. Are we sharing it with people? Are we learning about it? Are we analyzing it and learning about the history of it? Are we trying to figure out how to better apply it in our own lives? Are we learning how to deconstruct it and then reconstruct it and make it make sense to us? Like, what are we doing with the gospel that the Lord has given us? And I feel like we're taking that too lightly in this life. If you really want to go on a faith journey, re-examine the way the gospel applies to your life and what it means to your life, because that's going to change a lot of things for you.
Right. Well, it's like, it seems like we've got so many answers that we shouldn't have to be making any kind of mistake. So as long as we're making as few mistakes as possible, then we're doing really good, which is not really, that's not it. It's not about making the mistakes. It's about what you're doing in general. It's what you're doing with what you've learned. For me, yeah, like I grew up like ready to do exactly the right thing at the right time because I thought that's what I needed to do. And sure, I did it, but I wasn't enjoying most of it. I did things because I could, because I need to do something with myself. I got my young one's medallion early because I was like, I don't know what else I'm doing. I need to do something. I need to make sure I'm doing something in the church. It's not because I wanted to. It's because I felt I had to, because I needed to in order to be a good person. And it's not about us trying to be a good person. It's about us trying to learn. It's about us trying to become closer to our heavenly parents. And in doing that, that should help us to become good people. But if we just focus on that, then I don't know, maybe that's like a false idol kind of situation.
Boom, there it is.
Wish I figured that out in my youth.
Takes time because to learn these things.
It took me so long.
You have to be willing to ask questions, though. That's the big thing, is that
also true.
We were diverting from our topic at hand, but we need to give ourselves permission to ask the hard questions to ourselves. And I think a lot of the time we're afraid to ask questions in the church, even though
100%, yes.
Even though all of the leaders of the church say to ask questions, ask
Right.
the Lord your questions. It's all over the scriptures. It's what Joseph Smith did. It's how we got the gospel restored in the first place. It was because a boy asked some questions. Ask questions. You never know what the Lord's going to tell you if you don't ask the questions.
And don't go into it expecting anything either, though. I know I didn't ask a lot of questions because I was afraid of the kind of answer I might get. I didn't want to do certain things. I didn't want to think that I might get something wrong. I didn't want silence. So often I didn't ask all the hard questions. And sometimes I asked them without really thinking or wanting to know the answer. And if I'd been willing to ask the hard questions, maybe it would have led me to asking more questions and, you know, figuring out my faith a little bit sooner. It's not that I wish I had done things differently, but sometimes I wish I do, and that's okay. The important thing is I'm on a journey now. So
yeah.
Better late than never.
Yeah. So to like wrap up the episode, since we've gone on different tangents at the
so
end,
much.
Thank you for sticking with us for the last 3 years. It really is like a bittersweet thing, bringing this podcast that we put so much work and love into to a close. It's so weird.
That's the craziest thing. I like for a while I was really convinced we'd be doing this for the next 5 years, and just like there are other times where I'm like, this is definitely our last episode. We're gonna just forget about this and not ever continue and go back to it. But yeah, it is bittersweet. We've had a lot of fun. I'd like to think we've helped each other grow.
I think we definitely have.
Some good experiences through this.
Yes. I hope that we have helped you guys unlock some doors of curiosity and that we've encouraged you all to think more critically about the things you believe and to be more honest with yourself and in your discussions with your friends and family members about these hard spiritual topics, because more than anything, we want you guys to talk about the hard things. Talk about the things that nobody wants to talk about, just like we've done for the last 3 years.
Exactly. Bring up those taboo subjects. Learn how to critically think, study, and review things. Pray very carefully when you are enjoying church literature. And I mean that by like general conference. I mean that through scriptures. I mean that through reading the Liahona. Prayerfully consider everything that you're doing. And especially on that relationship with your higher power, whatever you want to call them. I know we've still got our faith about our heavenly parents, and we know that there's a lot of good out there, and we do support and believe the scriptures and everything, and we just want better things to come our way, I guess. So thank you guys for joining us on this really incredible journey. We really hope that you've had an opportunity to learn and grow as well. We hope that you guys are hanging in there. And we wish you the very, very best.
Yeah. We love you guys. Thank you for sticking with us for 3 years. We're going to miss talking to you and not hearing back from you as we record these episodes, but like in DMs and messages and everything.
Yeah. Although I don't think we'll get rid of our accounts. So if you ever want to DM us, tell us your horror dating life. Share your faith journeys with us. We're always open to hearing and talking with people.
Yeah.
Especially if it's just gossip. We're here for that.
Yeah, always.
But that's not the point of the podcast. We know that. So, yeah. But thank you very much for all that you've done and just listening and going with us on this ride. It really means a lot to us. So we love you. We want you to take care of yourselves, whatever that might mean for you. And we wish you the very best in your future endeavors.
You know what we need to end this podcast with?
What?
Smash the patriarchy.
Yes, with a spirit and a smile.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, guys. Bye. Bye.